The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace.
Hello, this is Andrew Womack, and we've got a very special program lined up for you today. I've gone back and taken some of my old programs that I made not very long ago, just in the last 6 months or so, but we've had the biggest response to some of these programs that we've ever had. I mean, people are just really getting their lives transformed. And so we decided, rather than just air these programs one time, and I know that there's many of you that don't watch every day, or many of you may be brand new to the program, we hated to just let these great programs go. So we're doing a best of series, and we're going to go back and resurrect some of these old programs, and I believe that they'll be a blessing to you. So open up your heart and get ready to be blessed.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today we are continuing a series that I've been on for 5 weeks, talking about a better way to pray. Now this week, what I've done is lay a foundation that the Bible says, Mark chapter 11, verse 24, whatsoever things we desire, when we pray, we have to believe we receive. Not when we see it, not when the thing is complete in the physical realm, but when we pray, we have to believe, and then we shall, that means future tense, have those things. And so this shows that you have to believe before you receive. Most people want to pray and receive and then believe. But it's not that way. You have to exhibit faith. You have to believe that you receive when you pray, not when you see the physical manifestation that you have prayed for. How is it that you can believe that something is so when everything in the physical natural realm looks like nothing has happened? How can you do that? Well, this is a problem that a lot of people grapple with. And the way that I have dealt with it, and the key that God has given me, is to understand that there is a spiritual world that exists, and when God moves, John 4:24 says God is a spirit. He moves in that spiritual realm. He releases His power in the spirit realm, and whether it ever manifests itself in the physical realm is not an indication of when God moves, but rather it's an indication of when you receive. And I've given a lot of illustrations, done a lot of things to teach on that this week. Let's turn over to the book of Daniel. And let me use Daniel as an example of a man who prayed, and God moved before there was any physical proof of it. And we have the commentary that Daniel wrote after the fact, where he gave what was going on behind the scenes, that gives a lot of explanation and illustrate perfectly the point that I'm trying to make here. So in Daniel chapter 9, in verse 2, it says, in the first year of his reign, talking about Darius the Mede, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said. And then he begins to record the words of his prayer. I'm not going to read the prayer. If you want to, it's listed right here in Daniel chapter 9, beginning with verse 4. But it goes on down through verse 19. And in verse 19, here's the end of his prayer. He said, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, and for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And then in verse 20 it says, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Now this says that it's a man Gabriel, but we know that this is the angel Gabriel. It's the same one that appeared unto Zacharias when he was praying in the temple and announced the birth of John the Baptist. And Gabriel is also the one that came and announced the birth of Jesus to the Virgin Mary. So this is talking about the angel Gabriel appeared. And in verse 22, it says, he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Now, I didn't read all of this prayer, but if you were to read from verse 4 down through verse 19, I don't believe it could have taken more than 3 minutes. And it says in verse 20 that while he was still speaking and praying, in other words, the Lord actually interrupted Daniel's prayer with his answer. This angel, Gabriel, appeared, and while Daniel was still praying, probably 3 minutes or less into his prayer, Gabriel shows up, answers his prayer, and he gets this tremendous revelation from God about the coming of the Messiah, the exact time that it would be, and all of these great things that are prophesied here in Daniel chapter 9. Now, that's a tremendous deal. You know, most people, if while you were still praying, God interrupted your prayer and the angel Gabriel appeared and told you everything you needed to know, most of us could handle that. But let me show you this. In the next verse, in verse 23, it says, at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. In verse 23, Gabriel says, at the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth. Now, again, this is wonderful that while he was still praying, Gabriel showed up and answered his prayer. That's wonderful. Every one of us would love to have that kind of results. But notice, he says, at the beginning of your supplication, God gave a command, and yet it took about 3 minutes for that command that God gave to come into some kind of a visible, physical form where Daniel could see and hear Gabriel. Now, I think that that's significant because you know what? There's a lot of people that believe, they assume this, that with God there is no such thing as time, space, distance, nothing like that. That if God wanted to heal a person, boom, they'd be instantly healed. And there is no such thing. You'll hear people say that there is no such thing as time or space, distance with God. You can't prove that in Scripture. Now, God does prove that He certainly isn't limited to time and space and distance the way that we are. I mean, God can prophesy the end from the beginning. God has shown that He is able to see into the future and know things. He's not confined to time the way that we are. The Lord has shown that people were translated and zipped from place to place. And I believe that God can certainly move faster than we can. I believe that God can do things, but you cannot say that there is no such thing as time or space or distance with God, because here is an example where God gave a command to answer Daniel's prayer at the beginning of his prayer, and it didn't happen immediately. The command was given, and it took approximately 3 minutes for the angel Gabriel to appear. Now, somebody might say, well, why? What was the hindrance? What was the deal here? I don't know. The Bible doesn't explain itself. But this ought to at least open up the door to the fact that, you know what, God can move. God can give a command. He can release His power. And there could still be a period of time before what God has determined comes to pass. I don't know if it was time. I don't know if it was space. I don't know if there was a distance that Gabriel had to cover. We don't know exactly what it was, but this establishes a principle. You know, I'm going to take a break right here because I believe that this teaching that I have on prayer as a process is just essential. You really need this teaching. And so I'm going to ask my announcer to share with you all of the different ways that we have to be able to get these truths to you. And I encourage you to please take advantage of these materials. I believe that they would really, really help you. And then right after our announcer gives you this information, I'm going to be right back on the other side of this break to continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, A Better Way to Pray, is available in book form for a gift of any amount. If you prefer, this teaching is available in a 5-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. The 5th audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this 5th teaching free of charge. And now, Gospel Truth continues.
So I was sharing from Daniel chapter 9 to where Daniel was praying a prayer. The angel Gabriel appeared in less than 3 minutes. It was while Daniel was still praying, but Gabriel said, at the beginning of your supplication, God gave a command to me, and I am come forth to explain to you the things that you were praying for. This shows that in between the time that God gave the command and when the manifestation of what God did came into physical manifestation was approximately 3 minutes. Now, before the break, I was trying to explain what is it that causes this delay. And you know what? I really don't know. The Bible doesn't explain itself here, but it does establish that in between the time that God gave the command and when the command became physically evident, that there was a gap of about 3 minutes. And you know, I have no clue what it was. I'm just guessing. Maybe Gabriel was on the other side of the universe and he was 100 million light years away, and maybe it took him 3 minutes to cover 100 million light years. See, again, this is a thought that most people don't have. They think that when God wills something, boom, instantly like that. But here is an instance where God commanded and it took 3 minutes. You know, to me, that's not a problem. To me, I don't have a set of beliefs over here that I'm holding on to, and I'm going to make God conform to this. You know, I don't have a preconceived idea about how God should be. I don't have some theological stance that there is no such thing as time, space, or distance with God. I don't have that. I just go by what I see in the Word. And the Word here is showing that God gave a command and it took about 3 minutes. Maybe Gabriel had to travel a long way. Maybe he had to pack a bag. Amen. Maybe he was brushing his teeth. Maybe he stopped to visit with somebody along the way. I don't know what was going on, but it doesn't matter to me. I just go by what I see in the Word. God gave a command and it took about 3 minutes before what God had done came into physical manifestation. Now, you know what? Most people watching this program would say, well, who cares? 3 minutes? I can hold on for 3 minutes. Now, I've actually met people that couldn't hold on for 3 minutes. I've prayed with people who instantly, if they don't see an instant manifestation, they can't even stand for 3 minutes. But, you know, most people could probably last for 2 or 3 minutes. If you came forward in a prayer line and if I prayed for you and before you hit the floor, you were totally healed, most people can handle that. The problem is when it takes longer than 3 minutes, then we start trying to think, uh-oh, what's going on? And most of us just assume that because there isn't any physical change, that means that God hasn't moved. That's unbelief. And that unbelief will totally stop the power of God from flowing and manifesting. It helps me tremendously to recognize that in this instance, Daniel chapter 9, God gave a command, Gabriel was sent, but it took about 3 minutes for Gabriel to show up. Boy, that's powerful to me. And if you compare this with the next chapter, it even amplifies on this point. Because in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel is once again praying and seeking and asking the Lord to explain something to him. And, you know, the reason that I like to use Daniel is because this is the same man praying. And in the 10th chapter, after he had this miraculous encounter with Gabriel and God supernaturally answered his prayer, you would think that if anything, Daniel should have been stronger in faith and he should have gotten even better results in the 10th chapter than he did in the 9th chapter. And yet it's exactly the opposite. In the 9th chapter, he prayed and got his prayer answered in less than 3 minutes. In the 10th chapter, he prayed for 3 full weeks before he saw an answer to his prayer. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 2, he says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. In other words, he not only prayed, but he added to it fasting, denying himself, afflicting himself, rejecting his flesh. He brought everything that he had to bear on this situation, and he was praying this time for 3 full weeks. And look down here in the 10th verse of Daniel chapter 10. It says, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. So here's Daniel. Here's 2 examples of Daniel. the 9th chapter, he prayed a prayer, and in 3 minutes, while he was still praying his prayer, Gabriel showed up and gave him his answer to his prayer. In the 10th chapter, he prayed this time for 3 full weeks, 21 days before he got an answer. Now, let me ask you this. Have any of you ever experienced something like this, where you prayed and it seems like some things just work so easily? Other times you pray and it seems like that, if anything, you are giving more effort to it. Maybe you're fasting and praying. You're doing all that you know how to do, and yet it just seems like that you aren't getting your answer. Have you ever had something like that happen, to where you get varying responses? Some prayers work easier than others. If you have, I can guarantee you one of your questions is, God, why did you answer that first prayer in 3 minutes and this second prayer in 3 weeks? Why did God answer the prayer in Daniel chapter 9 in 3 minutes and the prayer in chapter 10 in 3 weeks? Do you know that the answer to that is that he didn't answer either one of the prayers in 3 minutes or in 3 weeks? You know, sometimes we just assume some things and we miss these subtle differences. But look at this in Daniel chapter 10 and in verse 12. Here's what the messenger said to Daniel. Then he said unto me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." So the answer is that God didn't answer Daniel's prayer in chapter 10 in 3 weeks. It says at the first day God gave a command. And since God is the same, it doesn't specify what part of the first day in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. But I believe that since God is the same, that probably just like he did in the 9th chapter, that at the beginning of the supplication, on the very first day, God gave Daniel his answer to prayer. But in the 9th chapter, it took 3 minutes for the prayer to get there. In the 10th chapter, it took 3 weeks. But the variable wasn't God. Boy, that is profound. I don't know if you get that, but that has changed my life. That has just revolutionized my life. I know that God is never the variable. I know that when I pray for something based on God's Word, if I ask, I receive. If I seek, I find. If I knock, God gave. God moves. God released the power. But if I don't see, or if I can't perceive the thing that I'm praying for, it's not God who hasn't given. There's other things involved. Prayer is a process. And for what God has spoken to come into physical manifestation in my life, sometimes it takes a period of time. Sometimes there are demonic powers involved. Sometimes it's me that's the problem. Sometimes it's other people that's the problem. There can be multiple things. But boy, this has blessed me to understand that God always moves. God always answers every prayer that is based on the truth and the promises of His Word. There is never a failure on God's part. It is never God who's failed to heal a person. It is never God who's failed to give you joy and peace and deliverance. It is never God that has failed to prosper you. Every time that you have ever prayed or asked for anything, God released His power. God is not the variable. And so somebody's saying, so you're saying that you're just denying the fact that sometimes it, you know, I didn't get what I prayed for. You're saying that it didn't really happen that way. No, it's just like Daniel. Daniel got one prayer manifest in 3 minutes and the other prayer manifest in 3 weeks. But it wasn't because God answered one prayer in 3 minutes and the other prayer in 3 weeks. God answered both prayers instantly. So what was the difference? Well, look at here in Daniel chapter 10. In verse 13, this messenger said, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." Now, I haven't got time to go into things and verify this, but if you would compare this with Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28, and other places, when it says that the king of Persia, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, withstood me 120 days, I don't think this is talking about a physical man. It's talking about a demonic power that was working through that person. As a matter of fact, you know, this was written in the third year of Cyrus the king. And in the 9th chapter, it says that the 9th chapter of Daniel was when Darius was the king. And the Lord spoke in the book of Daniel and said that he stood, the Spirit of God stood to confirm and to guide Darius in the first year. It talks about the Holy Spirit flowing through a person. And in the same way that the Holy Spirit can flow through a person, Satan can flow through a person. And when it's talking here about the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstanding him, I don't think this is talking about the physical man, but rather the demonic power that was flowing through that prince of Persia. So here's my point through all of this. God answered both prayers instantly, but one prayer manifested itself in 3 minutes. The other prayer manifested itself in 3 weeks, not because God was the variable, it was Satan. There was a demonic hindrance, a demonic power fighting against them, and Satan was the variable. When we pray and ask for something, God always answers our prayer, but Satan can clog up the words. He can hinder what God is wanting to do in your life. And if you don't understand that these things are going on in the spiritual realm, if you just assume that if God willed for to answer your prayer, it would just happen like that, well, then you are going to come to some wrong conclusions. You're going to think that, well, because I can't see anything, that means God hasn't done anything, and you're going to get into unbelief, and you will stop the manifestation of that prayer. You know, I'm out of time today, but I will continue this on our program tomorrow. So I encourage you to listen in then. And also listen as our announcer gives you some information. And please get these materials. I think they'll help you.
Andrew's teaching titled, A Better Way to Pray, is available in book form for a gift of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Ask for book number T321. If you prefer, A Better Way to Pray is available in a 5-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Request album T1042 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. The fifth audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request teaching TY25 titled, Prayer is a Process When You Write or Call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Did you know I meet people all of the time who've had their life changed through the teaching over the Gospel Truth broadcast, and yet they never give back? I'm not upset about that, but you know what? We couldn't continue if there wasn't some people who did it. I'd like to ask you to be one of those that responds and helps us. Please listen as our announcer gives you some information, and please call or write today.
Our web address is www.awmi.net. Our mailing address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80934. Or you can call our helpline at 719-635-1111. Remember, you can use your credit card with the helpline or the website. The ministry of Andrew Womack is supported entirely by friends and partners. Whether or not you order today's teaching materials, we want you to know your donations are a vital part of this ministry. We hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me on January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a 4-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our Phoenix, Arizona Gospel Truth Seminar, January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Decatur, Texas on Wednesday night, November 12th, Fort Worth, Texas, November 13th through the 15th, and at Calvary Cathedral, Sunday morning, November 16th. He'll also be at the Arizona Biltmore Resort in Phoenix for a Gospel Truth Seminar, January 1st through the 3rd, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Caris Bible College Men's Advance, February 5th through the 7th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Andrew's latest book, Discover the Keys to Staying Full of God, is available in bookstores nationwide, or you can order your copy today for a gift of any amount to the work of this ministry. Visit our website or call our helpline for more information.
You know, I'm really excited about coming to Europe. I've got a tour coming up in October, and I'm going to be in England. I'll be holding a meeting up in Newcastle upon Tyne. We've also got a ministers' conference that we'll be doing in Buxton, England. And then I'll be going to St. Petersburg, Russia. I'll be ministering in our Charis Bible College there, as well as a church there in St. Petersburg. I'm also going to Holland, Amsterdam, Holland, and I'll be ministering there. And I'm really excited about this. We are getting a lot of response from all of these European areas, and so it's really exciting for me to go there to minister to you, to get to meet you. So if you can, join me for one of these services.
Charis Bible College is housed in the Andrew Womack Ministries building. The school and ministry share the same vision, to change the way the body of Christ relates to God. People from all walks of life are attracted to the school for its powerful application of the Word of God and for the opportunity to participate in one of the most life-changing ministries in the world.
I wanted to knit myself in with the body of Christ. I wanted to knit myself in with people that were of like mind.
CBC instructors are accessible to the student body and committed to Andrew's methods for discipling tomorrow's leaders. That means classroom instruction and practical application always go hand in hand.
God is more concerned about using you than you are about God using you.
Regular daytime CBC classes are saturated with the Word of God. No one attends without seeing the Word produce radical changes in their lives. In this atmosphere of faith, lifelong friendships are formed that encourage and strengthen students long after graduation.
98% of these people here have done the same thing I've done for the same reasons, you know, because they want God and they want to know God better. And it was an immediate connection with about 200 people.
People at CBC are interested in you and interested in knowing each student and really go out of their way to meet and fellowship with all the different students, and they don't classify your age, but they want to fellowship with everybody.
Students who cannot attend morning classes can enroll in night school. Night school offers first-year curriculum and maximum flexibility with full and part-time options.
It's straight teaching, it's power-packed, it's an opportunity to know the instructors. You actually have a little bit more access to the instructors because it's a smaller group.
No matter how you choose to attend CBC, your experience will be unforgettable. CBC students find many practical ways to test what they're learning. Through personal friendships, volunteer work, or in CBC interaction groups, they put the Word of God into action in real-life situations. As they step out in faith, the Holy Spirit helps them discover their particular calling. Changing the way the body of Christ relates to God is a vision that will be achieved effortlessly through the lives of these CBC world changers.